This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We're just about a couple of weeks away from the restart of NBA basketball and a little bit more than a week away from the start of baseball right here on 105.3 The Fan. I want to know right now, 877-881-1053, what seed do you think the Mavericks are going to get, and how far do you think they're going to go in the playoffs? Because, gentlemen, we present to you the three reasons why the Dallas Mavericks are a dark horse for a lengthy playoff run when the NBA season returns. So, Bassick, I want to start with you. What seed, because right now they're positioned at number seven, what seed do you think the Mavericks will roll into the playoffs with?
Ultimately, I think it'll be the seven seed.
Would you be excited if I told you I think they're going to get five?
Yeah, I hope you're right, because I do think getting the five seed will get them into the second round. I hope you're right. Let me ask you this. Out of the eight games, I expect for the Mavericks to go 5-3 or 6-2. To the five seed, do you expect them to go 7-1?
I think 6-2 might be able to get it done, because I think both OKC and Houston, looking at their schedules, could go 4-4.
Okay.
And so that would give you the half game advantage. 7-1, I think you get it done for sure, because I can't envision either one of them doing better than 5-3, especially with the uncertainty surrounding Westbrook, at least at the front half of that eight-game run. So I think 6-2 might get it done. 7-1 gets it done for sure. Corey, do you also think they stay at seven, or can you see some movement going into the playoffs?
I think they are, based on their schedule, they are the team that is most well-positioned to move up. I think that they will get into that. I think I'm going to shoot for five seed. That's what I'm going for. We're going for the five seed.
All right, and if you get the five seed, theoretically that matches you up with probably the Jazz, maybe the Nuggets, since they hate everything about life in the bubble. Maybe they'll just give up.
My hope. That's actually my real hope is. Plus, everybody else in the rest of the NBA community doesn't give any respect to the Denver Nuggets, since they don't consider any of their guards top 20 guards in the
NBA.
That's
amazing on that thing. Top 15, neither one of their guards got top 15.
Now, let's say if it's seven, I think, and you draw the Clippers, we would all probably agree that it ends in the first round. Though if y'all disagree, please let me know. If they move up to five, where could you see this thing going?
Possibly conference finals.
Wow.
Against who?
The Clippers.
Like, you think it's the Clippers? Okay.
Well, so here's the deal. I don't think we're better than the Lakers as of today. I'm going to be just interested to see, not that Rondo only played like 15 to 20 minutes a night. It's not like they lost Rondo the All-Star. But they did lose Avery Bradley, who played about 24 minutes tonight, about half the game. They both kind of play the same position. Don't get me wrong. I know Avery Bradley's not a point guard at all. But a lot of times when Rondo was off the court, then LeBron would just handle the ball 100% of the time. So it's not like you needed to put in another point guard when Rondo wasn't on the court. It's just like, oh, that's fine. LeBron runs everything. And when Rondo's on the court, he'll run half of the time the offense. And then half the time you're just going to watch LeBron do his thing. But I just wonder – and LeBron did get a nice break for his age, so it might be really great for LeBron at his age to only have to play kind of probably maybe six or seven games. And I know he's not a big sit-out guy, but, you know, they don't really have anything to play for. They're going to be the one seed. But I just wonder, is their lack of depth going to be an issue come playoff time? I would pick the Lakers if you made me bet things on beating the Mavericks, but I could see where if the Mavericks took on, let's just say, the Utah Jazz, and they beat the Utah Jazz in six games, and the Lakers have to play six games against the New Orleans Pelicans, and they struggle, but they win the series in six, I could see where the Mavericks could push the Lakers and maybe upset them.
When the 4-6-9, y'all need to stop disrespecting the Suns. That's two losses for the Mavs. Well, I'll tell you right now, if the Mavericks lose those two games to the Suns, they don't really have to worry about too much else because that team's going nowhere.
Are the Mavs forfeiting or something? I don't understand.
We don't seem to play well against the Suns in the last couple years. But that doesn't – I'm not agreeing with that person. But for some reason, I feel like we struggle at times against the Suns the last 2 years.
From the 214, do y'all give what Kenny Smith said about considering the restart as a new season any credence? Do we really have zero chance at beating the Clippers? We could shock the world. So, look, I'll tell you this right now. If you get healthy Paul George and Kawhi Leonard that give a crap in the playoffs and you beat them, then that is the best case scenario because you've just announced to the world that we just took down, I know he moved teams, but we just took down the reigning and defending NBA champ. Let's face it, all right? It's Kawhi Leonard. He's the champ. It's not the Raptors. It's Kawhi Leonard. And you just took him down with Luka and Kristaps and company, and you just put a big open for business sign on the Dallas Mavericks to every conceivable player out in the world who's not happy with their situation. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, when they play together, that team was wrecking shop on people. And if you have a motivated version of those two, who are probably the two of the best five combination players in the league, then I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think when you say combination players, Kevin, I was watching the restart of them on NBA TV, and I think that's where I just realized how good they actually are when a few of them are on the court together, because the rest of the team, Mike, you were talking about depth, and their depth defensively is phenomenal. It's just wave after wave of athletic freaks that are coming at you that can steal the ball and then push it up court real fast, and every one of their guys can run too. They are suffocating when it comes to defense. Now, that's the part where I watched Luka, and I watched that second game, and I watched him – Kawhi get a couple steals here and there, and Luka kept coming after him, and the Mavs kept coming after him too. That was the night that we lost Dwight Powell, by the way, was that last game against the Clippers. So, but, you know, that team, it becomes so suffocating. That's my concern, is that I don't know if Kristaps is ready to compete with something like that yet.
All right, so since you said that, I want to start running down. Now, we already kind of went through one of the reasons it's the favorable seeding schedule, because if you feel like if the Mavericks can move up to number five, maybe whether it's the Nuggets, the Jazz, or whatever, they can cause a little ruckus. Maybe hell, somehow you'd even end up with OKC or Houston if you bounced up even higher. So the second reason on there is shooting and depth. Now, we talked about this in the pre-show is – THJ has been a revelation this year. And then Seth Curry, after a kind of a wonky start to the season, he has been just phenomenal. Do you think that the shooting depth of the Mavericks could be problematic for other teams?
I do. Oh, go
definitely
ahead, Mike.
Could be. No, go it definitely ahead, could be. If they're hot at the right time, if they're hot, I don't know what you do. If obviously Porzingis is knocking down his threes, Kleba usually gets some open looks at three-point shot because, I mean, he's usually the kind of fourth or fifth offensive option at times. If Dorian Finney-Smith is in the corner knocking down the three-pointers that he gets, I don't know how you beat the Mavericks if they're on shooting the ball because, Corey, it can be pretty dangerous out there and, you know, probably at times our worst shooter on the court at times is Luka.
But that's the great thing about him is that he's such a good distributor and as well as being such a good playmaker and creating for himself if he needs to. My thing was, Kevin, until you said that, I didn't realize that we had two guys on this team that were in the top 10 in three-point percentage. I didn't realize. I kept thinking to myself, we got to find another scorer somewhere. And then I think about all the points that this team scored, and I'm like, holy crap, they are a scoring team. This is what they're good at. Even Dorian Finney-Smith is up, I think. Did you say he's up like 7% from what he was doing last year? Which is phenomenal.
That's a huge,
And he's one of their best defensive players. Now, I will say, watch Dorian Finney-Smith try and get back down by Kawhi, and it's just impossible. He doesn't have the weight to do it. It's a tough game. But You know, he's one of their best defensive players. I didn't realize that this team is so efficient at shooting three-pointers, and we got the scores that we need. So when I see that, man, it just gives me more confidence that if they catch fire. Now, Mike, I asked you the other day, who's more important, Seth or THJ? Now, Kevin, I present that question to you because Mike pointed out, and I love it, if both of them are cold, this team's screwed. If one of them's hot, at least there's something to interchange. Who do you think will be more important in this bubble as the guy that they're going to be relying on to be the catalyst whenever they need it?
Just Hardaway is shown to be a more consistent scorer who does not rely, you know, like so specifically on the long range shot falling. Okay. And so I think
a better defender maybe too.
I'm not like super keen on either one of them as defenders.
Dang.
So better is that's I'm just gonna quickly move past that. And then the other thing I wanted to throw out, and this is probably the most exciting. I mean, it's definitely the most exciting of the reasons is the combination of Luka and Kristaps being healthy. Now the pick and roll, it was looking sweet. And in the month before the season got stopped, they were comboing to average 52 points a game. And I think right there, that's what we all envisioned. Like, you could envision, surely we could all envision Luka being a 30-point-a-game scorer because it's happening. You could envision Kristaps being a 20-point-a-game scorer. Sometimes they chop it up. They both go 25. Sometimes they invert it, and Kristaps puts up 30. But I think 50 points a game was what all of our wild dreams entailed when we put this combination together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be, I mean, I think it's going to be, yeah, 50. Yeah, 50.
I know 50 is high, but.
No, that's good. I was honestly in my head going, could it be 60? But
okay, well.
That's too high. I'm going too high there because, I mean, there's very few people that average 30 points a game. And Luka's close, and I just, the way Porzingis at times was trending, I'm like, crap, man, can he get up to, like, over 25 per game? But that's a lot to ask of two guys to get consistently over 50.
Now, something we will keep our.
Go ahead. This out to you real quick. We mentioned the depth, and I know it's an article, and it's not us making this up. It's an article. After you go Luka, Tim Hardaway Jr., Dorie Finney-Smith, Porzingis, and Maxi Kleber, that's probably your starting lineup.
Yeah.
We have depth at guard with Curry and JJ and DeLon Wright.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down
experience with JJ, too.
Here's our depth when it comes to our 3, 4, and 5 position. Justin Jackson and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and then kind of Boban in certain situations, and that is it. So I question when people talk about the Mavericks' depth as a quality going into the bubble. I get it from the guard position. We have no depth. After we go Porzingis and Maxi Kleber, there's literally no depth of a guy that's a regular rotation guy.
Yeah, losing
respect
Dwight.
On Boban, please.
Okay, all right. Losing Dwight Powell.
We're going to put Boban on Anthony Davis?
And
I mean, you can. Good luck on how it ends up, but you can.
And Colley Stein not playing. That's all. They were just hoping for bodies and fouls at that point. But, yeah, once you get if our big guys in the front part in the starting five get a couple fouls, we got a little bit of trouble. We got to go small ball.
So something we're keeping our eye on. Chris Mortensen says the deal is done.
With Dak?
Sorry, I should have clarified. Mm-hmm. I am still looking for specifics on this, but it sounds like Chris Jones and the Chiefs are closing in on a 4-year contract extension. So,
what an organization.
I called that, by the way, at the end of last week.
Okay. And just keep that in mind when it comes to Dak, because just as recently as yesterday, word was that wasn't going to happen. So when you hear things like, oh, well, the Dak deal's not going to happen, they turn it around quickly. So Mortensen says it's done. Rappaport looks like he said they're really close and it's almost done. And it looks like it would be a 4-year, $85 million deal with $60 million guaranteed is how it would be structured. So Chris Jones, 4 years, $85 million with $60 million guaranteed are the specs on that.
Well, not that he needs to give any money to Pat Mahomes, but he should thank Pat Mahomes for getting that quarterback deal done so that they could have a much better idea where they would be at 2, 3, 4 years down the road.
And there is the magic of getting that long-term deal done with your quarterback.
Money's not even real.
Were they? I mean, that's true.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.